That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We do welcome you here this Saturday morning, October 15th, 2022. And we've got a full crew for you. We'll bring the men on. And Jason, good morning, sir.
Morning.
And Tim in Nebraska, good morning.
Good morning.
Always good to have you on. Glad you could join us this morning. And Paul.
Glad to be here.
And Paul, way out there in... Oh, not the UP, but in Michigan anyway. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And Remnant, from sea to shining sea, Florida to New York and Texas to California. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. We hope you have your coffee. We've got our Bibles here. Got a couple of them. And a good hot cup of coffee. Jason got me a nice Yeti cup for my birthday last year, and I got a couple stickers on it, and it does great keeping the coffee hot. Jason, thanks again. And it's a great way to carry your coffee. But we tell you good morning and welcome. And we'll have the phone lines open. We'll get the button pushed on that. But we're going to open up in prayer. And Jason, we'll look to you to open up for us, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning and throughout the day and throughout the week, Father. We just pray that you continue to shine your face down upon us, Father, as we ask this morning that you lead us in the direction that we are supposed to go with this program. We pray, Father, that you just guide us in our topics, and we ask, Father, that you be with the remnant across this land, Father. We just beseech your blessings and pray, Father, that we may be fine pleasing to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. And, well, again, Remnant phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. And I, Proverbs 22:6. in New Living Translation. I know. You got to be careful with that one. But it says, teach your children to choose the right path. And when they're older, they will remain upon it. Now, that's a little different translation than we're used to, New American Standard or King James. But I think it gets the point across that we are to be teaching and training our children. Jason's been, you've been real big on that, you know, training our replacement and teaching and training our children to be better, stronger Christians than we were, than we are. And that's the word of God. The world, and Tim, I'm going to lead this in and I'll turn it over to you here in just a second, but the world, well, they have their own teaching and training that they want to do for our children. Saw this article, and I'll just mention it, that ACT scores, that's the college entrance scores that usually high school seniors take, and then, or maybe that's the SAT, but the ACT to, yeah, the American College Testing, to see where they place in college. Lowest scores in 30 years is what they're coming out with. And so, you know, we think that that public school system out there, that it, oh, it's educating our children. Well, it is. It's educating them in the ways of the world and in dumbing down, but certainly not in the ways of the Lord. And was talking with a young lady, a college student yesterday, and said that she's a biology major, and she's taken trigonometry, college trig, and that's advanced math, and it's just really working on her. She doesn't know it. It's hard. And I asked her, I said, you know, I said, I understand, so they're giving you college math. I said, have you ever had a class on how to balance your checkbook, or the dangers of interest and credit card use, and maybe having a monthly budget? Have you ever had any kind of math classes on those? She shook her head like I was talking Swahili to her. And so we're told to teach and train, and as you've heard here, it is our, as the parents, responsibility. And because it certainly is not happening out there in the world, not the type of education that we would want our children to get. So, well, Tim, I'll turn it over to you. I know you had something along those lines as well.
Well, I just think it's interesting that, I know I kind of talk about it a lot, but we had somebody else stop in this week, and they were, they're putting their children into homeschool, you know, because of things going on. Like, they talk about bullying, and they talk about, but the kids that are doing the bullying are supposedly, you know, their teachers' kids or administrators' kids. Of course, they're exempt from any type of oversight, but and even defending oneself is now bullying, you know. I mean, it's like, and there's a fine line between that. I understand that. But we deal with all kinds of things like that from day to day. And this public education system is, I think it's interesting because it's really going down. I mean, it's a, it's morally bankrupt and intellectually bereft of, you know, any merit. I mean, we've got, I even question things like the ACT tests, because if they're allowed to ask the questions, I mean, you know, they can't even get the answers that they teach that they want right, let alone things that are actually important. one of the new articles that I was just kind of keeping track of, and I kind of keep an eye on that just because I think it's sad, but nearly 270 educators have been arrested in the first 9 months, which is, you know, roughly one arrest a day, for sex crimes or sex-related crimes in the U.S. that are teachers in the school system relating to underage children, basically they said of the 269, at least 199 of the arrests, or 74%, involve alleged crimes against students. So, you know, that's one of that, it's just wild that this continues on. The one guy I was talking to this week said that, and I know he's correct, he said they're actually talking about doing an insolvency on one of the school systems here in the area because they can't make it. They've lost so many students, and they're paid by the head. They're either going to have to come up with a different way to finance this, or to allot, you know, for their allotment, or something, or it's going to go down. And I was talking to one of the other guys today or yesterday, and he's a fence sitter to some degree, we were talking about it, and I said, well, yeah, it may go down. And I said, you know, that'd be a good thing. And he was, well, yeah. You know, and I said, oh, wait, I know what you're going to say. And he goes, okay, what am I going to say? Well, what about football? He just kind of shook his head. I said, you know, I mean, that's the first question whenever this, at least when that talk comes up, well, what about sports? And it's like, wow, bread and circuses. But I do think it's interesting that these things continue to move on. I consider it an upbeat sign that God is moving in the hearts and minds of his people across his land. And they're throwing money at it to the point that they're now doing some special hearings to allow them to go over their property tax budgets and everything because they can't make it pay. You know, they got to have more. And everybody's up in arms about it. So it's... which is, you know, the reverse of if God can make it, make your money go further, he can make theirs go less far.
Oh, amen.
Right.
Amen.
So anyways, there you go.
And we've continued to see that, you know, like you mentioned, the massive increase in homeschooling. Now, it's not all Christian homeschooling, but there's some out there that there's a lot of secular groups and curriculums and things like that, but by far the majority of those that pull their children out of the public school system and teach them at home, many times they are Christian, they are believers in Jesus Christ and in the and therefore they see the problems in the schools. The brainwashing and the influences. And so, of course, as you see this happening, so you've got an exodus of Christians from the public school system, not all, but for the most part. At the same time, you have this influx of these illegal aliens and their children that don't speak English, that are on every type of handout and social service that you can imagine. That was not the intent of the free lunch system, the free breakfast system, that system that's in there. And so again, you see there's a shift, you know, there's a certain element coming out of the public school system, and then there's an opposite element going in. We've seen that in the police force over the last few years, how you had many of the policemen that, you know, we might consider good guys exiting out, but there's not a vacuum doesn't exist. It doesn't stay that way, and so before you know it, there's others coming in, and who knows of what ilk they are. But definitely seeing that in the public school system, more and more coming out, and a different type of input going into it. And that input, those that are taking them out, like you mentioned, Tim, the tax base is still there, but it's not enough to continue to fund this public school system. And so, you know, Remnant, be prepared, be looking for more things there, whether it's more tax increases or, you know, different ways to try to fund that. But it's not going to stay the same. And Paul, this isn't anything new, is it? You've seen this coming for years and years.
Yeah, I pulled mine out of a Christian school 40 years ago. So I didn't care what they were teaching them either. So this is nothing new, but I was thinking about this while you were talking, you know, that prodigal son, he found himself feeding pigs. You know what, this is kind of the same thing. This is a pigsty out here, what's going on. I just can't believe it. Now, I heard a story the other day. I don't know if I believe it yet or not, but they, in a local school, they have litter boxes in the corner. If kids want to act like a cat or a dog, I don't know if I believe it or not, but I'd like to see it. But I asked somebody else, yeah, that's true. So, I mean, we are so far down the hill, it's pathetic. You know, and last winter I was reading about King Nebuchadnezzar, and God said, he's my servant. And I just read someone else, and he was an evil man, and God's my servant. These people are God's servants, and this is what we need to see to come back to our senses, is what I'm trying to make the connection to. Because this, you know, you're responsible for your kids' education. That's what it is. Now, if you can... You know, if you have a like-minded group of people, you can have a local school. That ain't really the issue. Is what's taught is what the issue is. You know, some I've seen homeschoolers that shouldn't homeschool. You know, they're just a zoo.
This is true, too. Yeah.
So. But, yeah, it's a mess. When you take God out of it, you got a mess. That's all it is. It goes down from there on, and he'll see to it does.
Absolutely. Well, again, Remnant, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913, and be glad to take your call this morning.
Yeah, out there in Michigan, Paul, I don't know if you know anything about this or not, but... I was seeing that they are talking about that Whitmer, an attorney general, that they're talking about closing that line 5, which is that oil and gas line that that runs stuff up into Canada, and that's kind of a big deal. They say that I guess right now Michigan's the number one user of natural gas in the United States, and the most of that is in the Upper Peninsula. And they say the majority of that natural gas comes through Line 5. And that Whitmer and the Obama administration are looking at trying to shut that Line 5 down.
Yeah, they just had a debate the other night with the one that's running against her, and she called her out on that very thing. You know, what that would do to Michigan is just astronomical. It goes through the straits there, and they're trying to tell you it's a problem, you know, if something happens. That woman is evil. She worked for George Soros directly at one time in her life, and her whole motivation is evil. The one that is challenger now, I mean, she was sounded grounded. You know, this whole thing's a mess. You know, women aren't supposed to be in government. You know, there's a black guy, and he come right out and said that. They're not made for government. You know,
exactly.
I mean, it's kind of interesting.
I think that is, that's Tudor Dixon, right? Isn't that her name?
Who?
Tudor Dixon?
Yeah. Yeah, that's her. But she worked on a debate, and she was really grounded, and you know, she had right doing it nice.
And I mean, this is the way I look at it. I mean, she got it by default. She got the position that she's running for. I mean, I hope she gets it. I mean, there's somebody that that needs some prayers, most definitely. But I mean, you look at that. It's like basically, they have no, it's like reaching over and turning the gas valve off, going to the furnace. I mean, that's what people are heating their houses with. That's where people are getting their hot water from. And they just want to turn it off. I mean, just the insanity of it. It's just absolutely insanity.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, you know what? I see signs mostly up north, you know, where they shut down Line 5, you know. They should shut the gas off to their house and see if they want to try it for a little while, you know. Yeah, it's insane.
That would be a good style run, right? Just do without it for a while. See how that works.
Well, they... But, you know, the children of the devil come to destroy, and that's exactly who they are, knowingly or unknowingly, but they are... That one, our governor right now, is part of that club. I mean, she is evil. You know, the county I live in here had an election, a primary, and 8 of the 9 commissioners got voted out, just like a clean sweep, and it was all over because they shut the county down and over the COVID thing, is what it amounted to. But, I mean, people are fighting back. We'll see where this goes, but... You know, you take 8 out of 9 commissioners and replace them. That's a huge statement.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Huge.
Yeah, it really is. Clean sweep.
Yeah, and it sounds like everything down there in Florida is still shaking up. I know that this week there's crews. Tree trimming crews, cleanup crews, and everything that are heading from Colorado and heading down to Florida. I'm planning on being down there for 4 months. And those people, there's a lot of people, they're finding a lot more bodies than they had planned on in some areas. And, you know, it was, you know, people had fair warning to get out, and they didn't think anything of it. They didn't think that it was that important. And, you know, when you see the storms are coming and you're getting told to evacuate and everything, it's probably something to listen to. And there was the handwriting on the wall, so to speak. I mean, everybody had a pretty good fair warning on when that storm was coming in, and they didn't heed the warning. So, and that's kind of what happens when you don't heed the warnings that are coming. And you know, we've got warnings all over the place for things that are coming and the waves that are coming. We're living in exciting times, but it's people need to take heed to the handwriting on the wall.
It's serious, no matter how you look at it. You know, it's very serious. Even homeless, even us, you know, is. It's going to be trying times, and he said it would be. So we have to remember the gospel, the good news. We know who wins, so we got a war to go through, and it's going to be kind of vicious because they're fighting for their life, and they want destruction. They want to destroy Christianity, and then they know they're going to die themselves, but they're on a death wish is what they are, really, knowingly or unknowingly.
Exactly. And that's like, you know, we talk about this Whitmer and these different ones that have set themselves up and been appointed into positions of in this country. And, you know, it's like, why would they do that? You know, when we ask those questions, why would they do that? It's like, I mean, we're trying to reason with them, and you can't reason with them. They're like unreasonably animals. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. They are of their father, the devil. I mean, they are destroyers, and that's what they do. And we need to remember that. And sometimes it's hard not to get caught up with trying to debate with them. It's like, why would you want to do this? And you want to reason with them. And there is no reasoning with them. You can't do it. And, you know, that's where we're at. It's they're evil. And that's what we need to, you know, we need to realize that you know, these are Satan's children, and they're walking around, prowling around, doing the bidding of their father, the devil.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know, Jesus said, "You're either for me or against me, and you either gather or you scatter. You gather for Christ and for His kingdom, His will, His way, His law." Or you scatter apart from him, and you're absolutely right, Jason. It you know these. The Bible tells us by their fruits you should know them. when you've got a person in the White House that has just destroyed this economy, made us, you know, driven our foreign allies into our foreign enemies' hands by turning them away from us, and who is doing all they can to destroy what we know as America, by their fruits you shall know them. What a great time to be familiar with that remnant and to be able to share that with others that are out there. That there are, just like you said, Jason, and I know we've all heard it from our pastor many times, there are builders of civilizations and there are destroyers. And the destroyers are the ones running rampant right now. They are.
Well, yeah, and honestly, this scenario that we're seeing before us is, it plays out in the Bible time and time again. I mean, my son-in-law is going through his Bible, and he's like, wow, you know, he said, it's just kind of like the same thing. They get all built up, and then they get haughty and proud and stupid, and then they're back in the dirt again, and then they, you know, get forgiveness and kind of learn their lesson, and you know, and they get built back up again, and I was like, yeah, it really is. And I said, if you to me, if you want to identify who Israel is in the Bible, all you have to do is look at that very story and then look around the world history to see well, who did that happen to over and over again, you know. So you'll find them. I mean, you know, so they're there. The earmarks are all there. The proof's all in the pudding. There they are.
Well, one of the biggest lies in the religious world is we're all one. We all get to heaven on our own way. Well, you don't realize the division, you know, from the very beginning where the Adamic race was separate from the other race, and they've been under attack forever. But we're not all one. They're children of the devil. And you know, and you can't tell him he's a twin brother, and you can't tell him by looking at him. And they're usually in the midst, you know, I was in the Patriot Movement, there was always a snake in the bunch. Even the ministry has always had snakes in the bunch, just laying there waiting to destroy it and waiting for their opportunity. They'll lay there for years, you know, all of a sudden they get a chance, and then they've been exposed to us. But that's, it's amazing how long they lay there and how they operate. You know, you stop about a snake, you know, he's got kind of an uphill battle with no arms or legs, so he's got to be sneaky. So,
very true.
Amen.
But they're in our midst all the time, and they're still in our midst.
They are.
So,
and you have to see their fruit. That is such a basic but foundational premise of the Bible. By their fruits you will know them. Like you said, Paul, they're you know, a twin brother that you can't recognize. But it's by their fruits. Many years ago, we lived in Central Florida, and we had a small orange grove, orange, grapefruit, actually a couple tangerine trees. And when there was no fruit on the trees, unless you were some special, you know, citrus horticulturist, you couldn't just look at the tree and tell if it was grapefruit or Valencia orange or a certain kind of tangerine. You couldn't just look at the wood. You couldn't look at the leaves. They were so similar. You couldn't tell them apart until the fruit came out. And the more the fruit grew, the more you could see, oh, that's a, you know, that's a persimmon orange, and oh, that's a Valencia orange, and oh, that's a ruby red grapefruit, and oh, that's a pink grapefruit, once the fruit came up. And that's part of the simplicity of the gospel, remnant, that God puts it out there that you don't have to have a 6-year theology degree to figure this out. Not at all. You can see it in his creation. And he tells us about it, to look at it in his creation. And then it applies in each and every one of our lives, if we will apply it as an individual and as a people, as the people of God, not the brotherhood of man. No, that's man's saying. That's man's kingdom. That's Babylon's kingdom, one of their catchphrases. But the kingdom of God, that's a little different. And if we'll apply this law, these ordinances, this Bible that we're given, it brings about that kingdom. It does. And that's what we have to use to try to explain and to try to win others. No, not to win others to Christ. That's what you hear so much, but there's more to it than just that. There really is. And our people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and we're living in those times, that's for sure. Again, Remnant, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913.
I told a guy the other day, I said, you consider him your enemy until he proves otherwise. And I think that's a whole lot safer than thinking everybody were all the same.
That, and especially in these times, that's not a bad paradigm to operate under. I mean, if you don't know someone, and I think that a lot of us, well, one of the other things is I encourage people when they're praying to pray for mercy and grace for God's people in the midst of God's wrath and judgment, because I think there's a lot of that coming down, and we've got people there that aren't evil, but they've never been. And I think there are very few people who don't know the good news or the truth, or haven't heard that there's a God. Their witness and spirit bears it, but they've had no training, so they don't understand the concept. They've heard God is love, God is love, God is love, God is many things, including love, but not. They have a misguided concept of what they're dealing with here, and it's like, the bus can drive around you when it's going down the highway, but if it doesn't see you or if it doesn't have time, you're going to be flat. You might want to step out of the way, get yourself on the right side of the road. It's so. We're in a situation where the learning curve is. I told my son-in-law that. I said the learning curve is steep. I don't know that it's ever been shallow, but it's definitely very steep right now. So get on it. The precepts and the bases and all that. You better get those covered and get those understood, because you can be swept away otherwise. And that's just one of those things. I mean, it's homeschool is more than just a set of books that you order from some group or whatever. Education is more than a place you go to, just like the church is not necessarily a building. It's a group of people. It's a condition of the heart. And education is the same way, and godly education that way. It's a precept. It's an outcome-based understanding of the way things work, and if you don't understand it, and if you don't get in the right place, the results are not going to be satisfactory. We're dealing with that kind of scenario right now, and time is short, whether it is or to us or not. I mean, if it takes 20 years, time's still short. We're dealing with that. Get your home covered. Get your family covered. Have some means and motive and everything to take care of your people and of the folks you care about. So, and I'm seeing this sense of urgency in people that are coming in. I mean, this fellow who just put his son into homeschool. He came in and I don't even know where to get curriculum. I mean, I need help. So, and to me, that's encouraging. That's faith. It's like, I'm not going to think about it for 5 years. I'm doing it, and God will provide a way. We tried to, get him steered to some places to help, and it's just praise the Lord that these things are going on. People are getting concerned about it. And you know, some of these folks that I see also, you just wouldn't peg them that way. You know what I mean? But they are. They're there. Their heart's soft toward the Lord, and they wanna do the right thing. And they know that the things that they did or that they grew up with don't work. And so, I mean, what an encouragement.
Well, if you love your dog and your kid, you discipline them. And, you know, that ain't just always lovey-dovey stuff either. Sometimes they get the little, you know, cracking their horse going the wrong direction as can be a little intense at times. And that, you know, if you love your dog and your kids, you discipline them, because you cannot protect them if they will not obey you. And that's the same thing God is. He can't protect us if we won't do it his way. He just won't. That's his word. He said, I won't do it. He said, if you don't keep my law, you don't hear your prayers. So I think there's a lot of wind going out of these places because people don't even know what they're talking about. They think they're right with God. Well, yeah, you give them a little truth and you'll find out how many friends you got. You know, that's the steeple house I was raised in. You start telling the truth and you're all of a sudden you're ostracized, which is fine. That's the way it should be. It wasn't real fun at the time, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me. But if you go love the truth and see, and if people are asking questions, that's a really good sign. I talked to this guy the other day. We were talking about Israel. You know, God came for, you know, he believed that God came for the Jews, you know. But I said, well, you know, who's God come from? He came from this lost sheep of the house of Israel. I said, well, who's Israel? He said, Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel. Didn't he have 12 sons? And you're telling me he only came for Judah? He said, change the subject. We're talking about cover crops. Just instantly like that, because he couldn't get around it. So,
that's right.
Wow.
Well, that's right. Well, like was mentioned.
When people have.
You mentioned there
the questions at the little good time they're seeking.
Right, right.
You know, back up in my life, 40 years, I started questioning things, and you know, it's been a journey ever since. You know, and that's why I believe that consider them your enemy till they prove otherwise. You know, when you know the truth, you don't have to ask. You ask questions. You can't shove it down anybody's throat if they don't want it.
And the truth will stand up to questioning. It'll stand up to it. You don't have to skirt around it. You don't have to say, well, that's just the way it is. You can, you know, what was it? Pastor said, and I know he got it from someone else, but, you know, the truth is like a lion. Just set it free. You don't have to protect it. You just set it free. It'll take care of itself. And that's what Christianity is. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This other that you're mentioning, getting the cold shoulder and all that, see, that's religion. That's religion. That's those people that have to have their ways and means, and that changes over the years, and we've seen it. We've seen changes in the Baptist religion. We've seen changes in the Protestant religion, in the Episcopalians, in the Unitarians, and all that is religion. It's not Christianity. And that truth, well, like the word says, it'll set you free, but it'll stand up to ridicule. It'll stand up to questioning. It will. And that's what we have to hold to. His word tells us, in Hosea, you forget my law, I'll forget your children. Well, let's look around us, folks. I think our children have been forgotten. When you got a 15-year-old in Raleigh, North Carolina, running around the neighborhood shooting people, when you've got Colorado teen suicides are up 80% from 12 years ago, guess what? Our children have been forgotten as a people, as a nation. You don't see that over there in the sandbox. I sure don't see reports of that. No, but you see it here, because God keeps his word. Like you said, Tim, your son-in-law reading this and saying, hey, wait a minute, what's happening today is just like what you read here in the word. Absolutely it is. Because the truth, his word is truth. Now, if you don't want him to forget your children, well, don't forget his law. Study his law. Apply his law. Live his law as much as you can. For righteousness' sake, no, but because of the righteousness that he gives us. He allows us to do that. Gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit when we repent and are baptized, that we can seek his law and understand his law and his word and his calling in our life, and the religion today, the big box stores, I mean the big box churches, and the religion, and even the little ones on the corner, for the most part, they don't want anything to do with that law. And yeah, I think it's like was mentioned before, they, like you said, I think, Tim, that they it's written on their heart, but they haven't been trained. They haven't, you know, they've been led astray from birth, you might say. And so his word and his law is foreign to them. Sorry, Paul, go ahead.
That little card would come up with, you know, who is Jesus sent for, what is sin, how is one redeemed. If them preachers don't mention those three things, shut them off, because that is a true test of the whole bunch of them. And they don't touch that, because if they do, they won't be on that air for another minute.
Right.
Pastor Peters had that. The guy told me, say anything you want. Well, they went for a break instantly, and he didn't get to say what he wanted to. And another thing he said that was pretty, and I never met a con artist I didn't like.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
talk confident and for a reason.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
They talk smooth, don't they? Make you feel good. You're glad to be around them. They're positive and.
Yeah, yeah, Pastor.
Well, and I've developed a thing in mind, and Jason and I've talked about it before too. But I say, he's a used car salesman. That's what I say, Jason, yeah. And I are like, because they're smooth and they're your best buddy, I've developed my response to that is I recoil from that. I'd rather have somebody who occasionally ruffles my feathers, you know, it's like people who are just always super easy to get along with and just go along instantaneously they practice all that kind of stuff. You're kind of like, what are they up to? You know what I mean? It just doesn't work. I mean, to me, but that's the way I see it. So it kind of that plays back into what Paul was saying about like treat them like maybe they're an enemy until you prove it otherwise, or until you find something different. You know, so
yeah, till you see their fruit, and depending on the season. You might see the fruit, and you might not. It might be that season that there's no fruit out right now, and all the leaves and all the branches look the same. Until the season changes, until a little time goes by, and then you see what their fruit is. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, how many Judeo-Christian churches tomorrow you think the Baal priests are going to preach on that? Treat people as an enemy until you see their fruit for Christ, until you see that they love their neighbor, until you see that they keep their word. And you ain't going to hear that. Not at all. Not at all. You know, you go back and we've mentioned the Grahams before. Franklin Graham, his father Billy Graham. You go back and listen to some of the Billy Graham stuff, and you know, he and I think Pastor had mentioned it. You know, he didn't teach tithing. He didn't teach the law. It was grace. You have been saved by grace. Just believe. Raise your hand and say this prayer, and that's it, brother. You have been changed, and that was it. And anyway,
at the end of everyone, he would say, go to your church or synagogue of your choice. That's a real giveaway.
Yeah. And he was friend of, I think, 12 presidents, something like that. And, you know, anyway, yeah, it's just, again, you have to recognize the fruit. You know, I go back to that orange grove we had. We had two little trees that, and in citrus, most of the trees are grafted. You have what's called rootstock, you know, that has good roots and a good trunk, and then usually oranges, grapefruits, tangerines, things like that are grafted onto that, okay, so you don't have a real sour fruit. Usually the rootstock that grows, the wild orange and stuff, it's not like what you see in the store. It's not. And so most of your trees, I assume it's that way with apple trees, I don't know, but you have a rootstock, and then you have a palatable type of fruit that's grafted into that, and then that's what grows. We had two small orange trees that, it was an older grove, that the grafted on part had frozen off and had been trimmed back, and, you know, it was dead limb, so it, guess what, it got cut and tossed in the fire. But the roots were still there, the rootstocks were still there, and they would put out shoots and grow like crazy. They'd be the greenest tree in the grove. And here the fruit would come out, and that fruit looked like something out of a Van Gogh picture. It was perfect. It just looked perfect. Orange, I remember those, they were as orange as tangerines, but they were oranges, and they just looked, oh my gosh. You think, oh yes, I got a crop here, until you bite into it. And it would, you know, talk about turn your face, turn your stomach. You couldn't eat it because it was rotten fruit. It looked great, and that was that rootstock of those wild orange trees that looked great, but the fruit was bad. And so you do. You have to not go by just what you see, by just what you hear, but you have to. And what does the word tell us when we're trained to have discernment? You know, sometimes you get burned a time or two or 12, and you get it figured out when we're talking about fruit. And but I can tell you, when you saw that, you sure learned to recognize that rootstock in those orange trees, and how they grew different, and they just, you know, once you knew, well, then you could see, hey, these limbs grow a little different. They look a little different. The fruit comes out a little different, and it is different. And we should, you mentioned it earlier, Tim, we should all be praying for that wisdom and discernment, and to be able to see and to have that understanding of, by their fruits you shall know them.
You will never understand the Bible until you know who the players are either. You know, when I was younger, before I knew it, it's like reading somebody else's mail, you know. And now that when you know who you are, it makes all the difference in that Bible that's written to us, you know. The Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian people is who it's written to. Now, there's a place for the stranger, too, but that Bible is written for us. And as we speak, you know, you look at PBS, I look at that once in a while, they're having black roots all the time. You know, the blacks have never built an everlasting kingdom and productivity. Wherever they go, poverty follows. Now, there's some really good black people, and they've been led astray, too. But most of them, they're like our children, they've been abandoned. So, but when you find a really good black people that's devout, you got to like a person. But our kids are rotten now, too. But there's always a remnant that God saves. So it is the good news. It's the gospel.
Amen. You know, when God went back and chose Abram, and his people, I forget where it is. Maybe you know, Paul, or you men. But when he talked about it, he said, you know, these people that he chose Was it because they were the biggest, the brightest, the smartest, the most people in the land?
No.
No.
They were the least.
Right. They were the least. And it seems like we're, when you mentioned that, Paul, about the remnant, that doesn't it seem like we're kind of coming full circle to that? That
absolutely.
It's getting back to being the least in the land, the least. Doesn't have to be a lot.
Now, worldwide, we've been the least forever. You know, we had a pretty good saying here a few years ago when this country's in good shape that we were coming on strong, but we're going the other way now. We're not even reproducing ourselves.
No.
Because of idolatry and sin, you know. But your money turned into dross before your very eyes, and it's going to be not very long. You can have a ton full of money, can't buy a plate full of food, and it's right in our face.
Yes. I keep, I'm always reminded of that French philosopher de Tocqueville that came over in the early 1800s to find out what was the deal with this upstart America. What in the world is going on here? How can this country just pop up so fast, so quick, defeat the greatest military might that there's ever been, and be growing, and finding favor? And he came and walked the countryside and couldn't figure it out until Sunday rolled around, and he made it to the churches, and he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached, not just heaven. And then he realized that he saw that during that's what the people were living, was what they were hearing, and they lived it. And the quote that came out of it was, America was great because America was good. And that's good based on the Bible, the Word of God, the Old Testament, the New Testament, not based on what some LGBTQ, left-wing, liberal, satanic, pornographic judge thinks. It's what the Word of God says. America was good as it related to the Word of God. And he said, when America ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. And folks, I'm as red-blooded as it comes. Okay? Red, white, and blue. But America has ceased to be good for the most part. And that's why she ceased to be great. I got a hat. Jesus is my Savior. Trump is my president. I'm all about the MAGA. Make America great again. Absolutely. But it's not through any man. It is through Jesus Christ alone. And we need to remember that. And we need to be able to respond with that. That we certainly want to make America great again. And I think you saw, back in 16, how there's a lot of people that do. That resonates with people. Make sure that remnant that we can point them in the right direction. At least those that'll listen. Well, that's all I got, guys.
Well, that's good. I mean, God is on the throne, and you know, he uses Biden as his servant also, and Biden's in the hands of the big money people, and he's just a puppet in their hands. But there's a power struggle going on right now. They were trying to provoke Russia into a war, and this is worldwide. And I think we're looking at Ezekiel 38 and 39 myself, but maybe not. But anyway, there's a power struggle going on right now, and. Well, you know, I've been reading lately too. You know, the British people way back, the Romans were scared to death of them because they were just fierce fighters. You know, and they became a very big country. The sun never set on it, and they became cocky. And then George Washington, on his knees, took them down and separated us from them. So that But they, at one time, they were a fierce bunch, and it is the tribe of Judah. So the history's playing out. You know, I watched that funeral of Queen Elizabeth, and it Anglo-Saxon was written all through it. You know, the crown, King Edward's crown, and that globe and everything, it's all in that book. You know, it was all there, and that he's still on the throne, and that was a promise that God made that David's line would have a king forever. So
amen.
This is all playing out when you see it.
Amen. Amen. Pray for eyes to see and ears to hear. Well, men, we're out of time. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. Remnant, thank you for joining us. And remember, we'll invite you to church tomorrow. We hope you can join us at scripturesforamerica.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. And join us at scripturesforamerica.org. We'll see you there.
Rolling, 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 shake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.